May God bless each one here this morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the one that has made it possible for us to be in peace with God. And I bring greetings from the Dublin congregation there in Georgia. It seems pretty far away right now, but that's what I call home. I was born and raised in El Salvador, Central America, and I've been in Georgia for almost 22 years now. So I have lived longer in Georgia than I have lived in El Salvador. So that's why I have a little different accent than most people that come from Georgia. Not everybody in Georgia speaks like I do, but that's beside the point, right? I was thinking about why go to Sunshine. And you probably are aware that in our new conference, the Living Hope Mennonite Conference, we decided to try something to have a rotating schedule for the preacher so they can go over there to Georgia, and it's the same thing come over here. So we can kind of give a little bit more of a face to the conference. You know, sometimes I'm sure you feel kind of like us. In Georgia, you know, the closest congregation is Pensacola, which is 6 hours away, 6 or 7 hours away. And we feel a little bit alone sometimes, and I'm sure you do the same here, you know, kind of disconnected from the conference. So that was the effort that we are trying to put forth, of trying to give a little bit of a face of what the conference is all about, right? You know, I am part of the Dublin Mennonite Church, part of the same conference as you are. So that's why the purpose has been of coming all the way to Sunshine. And I thank you for the opportunity for letting me come. And I feel welcome here. Maybe I won't feel as welcome after I've done preaching today, but we hope that you can take it as a challenge of what I have to share with you all today. But before I get into the message, I know the clock is going to whoop me today because we normally start at 9:30. So I know whenever I'm getting to a preaching and at 11:30, I need to be thinking about wrapping it up, right? And I haven't even started yet. It is almost 11:30. So, okay, we won't worry about the clock is what Brother Glenn said, right? Maybe you don't agree with Brother Glenn, but we're going to agree with him today. But one thing I would like to do before we get started is have a little children's class. Simply because I remember when I was a child, believe it or not, I used to be a child like you are. And I remember whenever visiting preachers came from other places, and they went on and on and on. And I would kind of snuggle against my dad there and take me a little nap, you know, and I would wake up and he still was talking. Man, how in the world can they talk so much, you know? I don't remember much of the preaching that they took place, but I'm sure it was good. But I have brought something to illustrate a point to you, to the children. Okay, here I have a friend of mine that he does some interesting gymnastics. Can you see that? Look at that. Maybe you can hardly see, but this is a silhouette of a man. There, look at him. He's going to do a backwards flip. Can you see that? Now, I'll teach you a new word in Spanish. This thing is called piripituche. Now, I want to see how many of you can say it at the end, okay? Piripituche. And this is a little fella that my dad made this toy for me. Now, he doesn't know that I take it to church and play in church at the pulpit of all things. But here, he does some amazing things. Now, children, do not try this on mama's clothesline, okay? That's going to cause some problems. So don't try it on mama's clothesline. But look at that man, that fella. He does, amazing flips, right? That piripituche is just, he does incredible things. Now, the point I want to make for you children is that God has made each one with a purpose. Now, this fellow, this piripituche, is doing exactly what he was created to do. He is. He is doing exactly what he was made to do. And God has made us, God has made each one of us for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring honor and glory to him. Yes, that's what the purpose of humans are here on earth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. So our children, I hope you can remember this Piripituche. He is doing exactly what he was created to do. And I want you to remind you that God created each one of you to bring honor and glory to him. Can you remember that? Okay, very good. Well, we're going to put the Piripituche away because he's getting a little tired. So we're going to put it away, and we're going to see if we can preach to the adults today. But you children, remember that. You can be a vessel unto honor in his hand. Now, this morning, I would like to preach a message that was born out of an assignment that I was given by a neighboring congregation. We have the South Atlantic Conference not far away from us, and they invited me to come and preach a message there one Sunday evening. And I had tweaked at least the title of the message this morning is Dealing with Conflict in Relationships. Dealing with Conflict in Relationships. Now, I don't know about you people here in New Mexico. I'm assuming that you all get along really well and that you don't have conflicts like we do in Georgia. I don't know what's the deal with people in Georgia, but we do have conflicts. But so if it doesn't apply to you, you can take a nap. But I'm assuming that you are human beings like the rest of us, and we all will have conflicts in life. In life, we will have conflicts in relationships. So I hope you can apply it wherever you need it, whether it's in the church, in brotherhood relationships, maybe it's with mother and daughter, or maybe with mother and son, or son with father, or father and son, or father and daughter. It can be all kinds of different relationships. Even with coworkers, sometimes we have conflicts. And conflict, the word conflict as a verb, it simply means to be different, opposed, or contradictory. To fail to be in agreement, or in accord. To fail to be in agreement. I can relate to that very personally. This message is relevant to me. It's relevant to me, and I kind of count it a privilege that you don't even know me, and you don't know what I have struggled with, and what my track record is with conflicts. But I am aware. Don't worry. I am aware of what Jesus said, the proverb, physician, heal yourself. And we will have to get into this because it is important for us to remember or at least be reminded of how to deal with conflict. Again, like I repeat myself, I think we all have faced it. If you haven't faced it yet, count yourself one among the few. And get ready because you will face conflict in your life at one point or another. Now, there's an element I would like to, just a couple of rambling thoughts I would like to throw at you before we get started. And one of it is that we all form ideals in our minds. We all form ideals. I remember when I was a young person, 16, 15, 16, 17 years old, I really thought that I form an ideal in my life of different things, and one of us about how to be a father. You know, I saw my dad, and I saw all his faults. And that brought a lot of conflict between my relationship with my father because I form an ideal thinking that what he should be. Well, let's go 25-plus years later, here I am being a father to a 16-year-old, and I'm scratching my head. If I could only be like my dad, right? So you see what I mean? There was an ideal in my head that was formed, and then reality hit me. And I think that is true in every kind of relationship. We go through life And that is good because we hear the ideals. You know, we're going to try to preach the ideal today. I'm going to preach to you, and you're going to go home, and hopefully you can learn. But I also understand there's an aspect that reality sometimes doesn't go along with ideals. Reality and ideals. But I have to preach to you the ideal because it has to be like a target where we shoot to. You know, we want to press forward is what Paul said. I see the mark and I want to be that way, even though I have a long ways to go. So I hope that can help us. And also that issue of the ideals versus reality, I think is a huge problem in our relationships because we always have an ideal of how they should be. How they should be, and they're not measuring up to that ideal, and that's called reality. The reality is that they are not measuring up to the ideal, and we hold them to that ideal. Why do we have conflicts in relationships? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I would like to read a couple verses here. Why do we have conflicts? And then I have 7 points I would like to give to you this morning, but we're still kind of in introduction of what causes conflicts, why do we have conflicts, etc. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is saying this, verse 1 through 6, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye know yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase." So I'm suggesting to y'all that we have conflicts because of our own carnality. We are still have a flesh that needs to be crucified. Right? We will love if we could crucify the flesh once and for all. But Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily." Daily, that means every day, by the way, "and follow me." So there is an element in us that we need to realize, you know what? We're still in the flesh. I know our spirit has been born again. And I don't have time to go into the mechanics of all that, but I do believe that our spirit is what it was born again. And from there, there's something he wants to affect every area of our lives. But there is still a mind, there are still some emotions within us that need to be crucified. Now, as we go, there's 3 elements of good relationships. And Papa Sim taught us this one at our school board meeting one time. We were having some kind of conflict, believe it or not, on school board. And he said there's 3 elements of good relationships. And he says there's communication is easy. Communication should be easy, where we can speak. Communication. We can talk. We can send text messages in a good way. We can make face-to-face conversations. And the next one was trust is evident. Trust needs to be evident, where we trust each other. We need to learn how to trust each other. And the third one was mistakes are allowed. And that's where my ideal and reality comes into play. A lot of times we have an ideal of what the situation should look like, what they should look like, not me, but them, right? Because I'm always right. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'll tell you that if everybody would look at things, a life like Henry would be, this place would be a better place. Okay, that's my natural instinct. Now, I hope you're not learning from that, but I'm assuming that some of us struggle with that. But mistakes are allowed. We allow other people to make mistakes because they're humans. And I don't care how good of a preacher they are. They can be ministers. They can be lay members. They can be fathers, mothers. I don't care how good people they are. They will make mistakes. And we need to allow that in relationships. We need to allow our wives, husbands, we need to allow our wives to make mistakes. And the wives, they should allow us to make mistakes, even though they think we do them every day and every little bit, right? So here we go. Let's look at 7 points of how to deal with conflict in relationships. 7 points of dealing with conflict in relationship. Number one, be willing to talk. One of the first things in my carnality is if I get in a conflict, you know what? I become a concrete wall or a stone wall. We call it a stone wall treatment. I don't want to even see that man. I don't want to even go to the brother's meeting because I don't want to see him. He's just arrogant and all the list and all the things that I have in my mind against that person. But you know what? The Bible teaches us another way. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Matthew 18, I would like just to take a few minutes and just read this passage here. Under the point of be willing to talk. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 18. 4 verses here. And he gives the recipe of how to solve conflicts. And says this, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I know there's a lot of things here, theological discussions that we can come into in these verses of how we do this. When is it a sin? When is not considered a sin? When is it a hurt? When is it just an offense that I just needed to tell somebody, but I didn't feel like going to tell that person? The simple point I would like to point out this morning is to be willing to talk. That's the point I'm bringing out of this passage. That if you get into a conflict, just be willing to sit down and talk. Okay? That's what I am suggesting to you. And with that point is that we should refuse to talk about our brother behind his back. That is the carnal way to do it. Whenever I can just go and tell my other sisters in the church or how she has wronged me. That's a natural response. We do the same, the men would do the same thing. We talk bad about our brothers behind his back. And somehow or another, we're going to have to get into a maturity level where we can go and talk to that person. Now, I understand some people are pretty... It's like touching a hot stove, right? You're not going to go touch a hot stove because it's hot. And sometimes it feels that way. You know, how in the world can I go and talk to this person? Because I know he's going to blow up. But God will give us wisdom. May God help us. At least I'm throwing this at you that we need to be willing to sit down and talk. I know there's a value. Old timers wrote letters to each other. There's a value of text messages too, but I am still think, now this will reveal how old I am, that's still old school, that is still better to have face-to-face conversations. I can't get around that. But I understand there's a place for text messages. I get it. You know, that sometimes that's the only private time I can have besides my children. You know, my children are around me, co-workers are around me, somebody got to talk. I got to do it through text messages or else I will be sharing with the people around me. But just keep that in mind. It's still good to have a face-to-face conversation. Text messages can be a little, we don't know what the emotion was. We can read more into it than what is intended. We can twist things. So remember, try to do face-to-face conversations. That is my preference. That is my preference, and I hope you can see it. Number two, point number two, how to deal with conflict in relationships. Don't react, but respond from the Spirit. Don't react, but respond from the Spirit. Now go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 has an interesting description here of the wisdom that is from the earth and wisdom that is from above. You probably remember that passage there, but I want to point something to you. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James 3, 13 through 18. It says this: Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now I'm going to stop right there. It's interesting, I always keep a Spanish-English Bible side by side here. But in the Spanish Bible, the word sensual, now if we can understand the English word sensual, that means from the senses, right? If it feels good, we do it. That's the sensuality of the world today. You know, if you desire it, go for it. If it feels good, you do it. That's not true, okay? But that's what the word, that's sensual. In the Spanish Bible, they translated this word animal. An animal wisdom. Now, and I had to think, okay, what kind of wisdom does an animal have? Well, definitely it's from the senses, right? Whatever their intuition, whatever their instinct is, that's what they do. They tell me you have a lot of serpents around here, a lot of snakes. We do have them in Georgia as well. But can you imagine if you step on a rattlesnake, whatever you have here, but you step on the snake, how do you think that snake will act or react? Respond or react is what I'm trying to say. He will have an animal instinct. He has an animal wisdom. He has a sensual wisdom. That he senses that this person is stepping on it, and guess what he's going to do? He's not going to say, Lord Jesus, could you please let this Christian man remove his foot from my body? Can you give me the patience and the long suffering that I need to endure this pain? Does that sound like a snake prayer to you? No. The snake is going to bite you before you can say, ouch, right? That's what he's going to do. Or you can take a dog that is eating his meal and you go step on his tail. The same thing. The dog is not going to beg for mercy. He's not going to beg for patience. He's going to strike you and he's going to say, remove out of my presence in pretty intense terms, right? That's the animal wisdom, you see? And that's how we are. We come wired to react. That's how we are. If somebody cuts across in front of me at Home Depot's line, not even a Home Depot, at the airport line to board the plane, we're all going to get in the same plane anyway. That plane is not leaving until we all get in there. But people want to get in there as fast as they can, and they cut across. And I'm like, Go ahead, right? You know what I mean. You know. But guess what the rest of the verses says? But the wisdom that is from above. This is where the beauty of the Holy Spirit comes in. It's first pure and then peaceable. Making peace. And it's gentle. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Brothers and sisters, how many times we need to plead, with the Lord and say, Lord, please give me that wisdom. Give me that wisdom. My instincts trying to get the best out of me. My emotions are trying to get the best out of me. And I know that that is essential, animal, earthly, and devilish wisdom. I need the wisdom that comes from the presence of God. And that's what we need in relationships. We need the wisdom from above to know how to respond and not react. Number three, point number three, of dealing with conflict. Learn the art of listening. Learn the art of listening. And I call it an art because you can always do it better. Do you know that I had a school teacher growing up that she hardly ever gave us 100 in art class? And I was mad at her because we did the best drawing. And she always said, you know what, you can always improve it. And she taught me a valuable life lesson. Now, I'm not suggesting to you school teachers that you never give 100 on the art class. I tried to be a little bit more gracious than that when I was teaching. And she was. She did give us a few hundreds once in a while because we tried. But the point I'm trying to make here, learning to listen is an art. Okay? And that's what we need to develop. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That means be quick to hear. Rápido. Be quick to hear, but be very slow to speak, and of course, be slow to wrath. And we get the two backwards. I am very fast at getting mad, and I am very fast at talking back. Because he talked me the way he did, and I'm going to show him what the Ramos do whenever they get us upset. And we're going to set this score straight. That's how I am. The Bible teaches us something different. Be slow to speak. And I just want to emphasize that. I understand, and by the way, ladies, maybe you can get a quick little lesson on how men's minds work. Sometimes you're trying to tell your husband something. You're trying to explain to him what happened in the sewing circle whenever that lady said, the sister said something that hurt somebody else, and you're trying to explain to him. And he's not getting it. He is already trying to resolve the issue. And believe it or not, that's kind of how God made men to do. We as men, whenever we see a problem, we're already immediately trying to process it and say, what can we do to fix it? Okay, especially if you are a mechanic. Mechanics are very good at this because they get these phone calls. Hey, man, this thing doesn't want to start. And the mechanic immediately, he's processing it. He says, do you check the battery? Do you know you have juice to the starter? Yes, I put a new battery. Does the alternator working? So forth and so on. He's trying to fix the problem. And that's how we are a lot of times in relationships. We say, we're trying to share something with a person. Immediately we're saying, how can we fix this? There is a problem. I'm going to fix it. Right? And that's where a lot of times the ladies are trying to explain something to the husbands. And he's already thinking, oh, how can I fix my lawnmower because it didn't start? And the poor lady just trying to share with him what happened to Junior at school and why the school board sent a note to the parents. And he said, how can I fix my lawnmower? You see what I mean? We are wired to fix these problems. And that's one of the things that we men need to develop is an art of listening. Are you really listening? Just listening. Don't even try to fix the problem. Just push the pause button on the solving the issue. So sometimes it does help if you paraphrase. And you can try it. I'm horrible at this, but I'm trying. Wait a minute. Let me try to explain what I'm hearing. And I tried. He went for 5 minutes. Maybe I can give it to you in 10 seconds. Is this what you're trying to tell me? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Even though it took him 5 minutes, but I got it in 10 seconds. I could summarize it. Try to develop that. Ask questions. Ask questions. Do you really see or do you hear that? Did he really tell you that? Well, he insinuated that. No. Did he tell you that? Well, I'm pretty sure he did in a kind of twisted way, but you ask questions. Ask questions. And also, there's another thing I would like to point out at you, is that remember that we all have different interpretations of meanings of words. And I learned that, I remember, growing up, I always thought that abuse is a horrible thing, right? Either the wife got beat up by the husband, or the child got beat up with a big stick by the dad and he couldn't walk the next day. That, to me, is physical abuse. And not to mention the sexual abuse. There's horrible things. And I remember the first time I heard somebody using that term for spiritual abuse. That they were talking about the ministry where abusive is spiritually to them. And like, immediately my mind was like, there's no way. This is not true. I'm just sharing that to show you that we all have different definitions of words. That's simple. Sometimes we somebody says something, they interpret that definition differently than I do. That's all I'm trying to say. So remember that. Learn to wait to give your solutions and your perspectives for the proper time. And I don't know when that proper time is, right? Sometimes I have to ask my wife, do you want me to fix this or you want me to listen to you? And sometimes maybe we should do that in our relationships. You want me just to listen to you, but maybe we should be a little bit more tactful than that, right? Which is hard to know. Hard to know because we know already in our minds we're trying to fix it, but sometimes it's just better just to wait and to listen. Maybe we just need to schedule another meeting a week later. Maybe I can share, man, I've been thinking about this and I'm thinking I got my perspectives on this. Also, in this point of listening, I would like to mention something, that just because someone disagrees with you, that doesn't mean that they didn't hear you. I have heard this before. Oh, you're not listening to me. Why? Because you don't agree with me. Duh, agreeing and listening is two different things. I did hear you. I did listen to you for 2 hours straight, but I don't agree with you. That's two different things. The person sharing feels like that I didn't hear. And it wasn't that I didn't hear. I heard loud and clear. But I still didn't agree with them. You see what I mean? God help us all. Number four. Develop alligator skin without hardening your heart. Develop alligator skin. You know our skin is pretty fragile. You know that, right? It don't take much for me to get cuts in my fingers, doing construction work. It's pretty fragile. And when it comes into relationships, I'm even more fragile. I can get hurt very easily. Very easily. Now I'm hoping I'm maturing and maybe I can have a little bit more of an alligator skin. And what do I mean by that? I know you don't have alligators around here, but you have seen pictures. Alligator has a very tough skin, especially on the top. Very tough. And what I'm trying to say here is that don't take everything personal. Somebody shares something, don't take it personal. It wasn't just because of, and I know I am the best at taking things personal, okay? I go in depressive mode whenever they come and tell me something because I took it personal. But I want to learn how to stay objective. Maybe it's not an attack to me as a person. Maybe, they were having a bad day and they do need to share, instead of bottling up all their emotions, they need to share. There's a verse. I'm not going to make you turn to it. I did write it down, so you don't have to turn to it. Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 19:11 says this in the Amplified Bible. It says, good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. And in brackets he says, without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. Do I need to read it again for you? Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook the transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. In simple terms, is don't be offended so easily. That's what I'm trying to say. I understand there are offenses and they're real and they hurt. I am not denying that they are hurtful things that need to be addressed. But I'm also warning you that we should develop a tougher skin. And I remember what I gave you on that point, without hardening your heart. For me, it's easy to develop tough skin. Okay, if you want to play tough, well, we play tough. That's fine. Bring it on. But what I'm doing is I'm toughening my skin, but also my heart. And I wish I could separate the two and say, okay, you can tell me whatever you feel. You can tell me how horrible a preacher I am. That's okay. I still want to have compassion toward you. That's what I'm talking about. Harden your skin, but not your heart. Develop that alligator skin. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, whenever we have people offended in a congregation, they're very, very, very difficult to win them back. The Bible says that it's easier to go and conquer a city. It will be easier for bring the tanks and the artillery to go and conquer El Paso than it is to conquer an offended brother. That's incredible. That's incredible. So I hope, brothers and sisters, that we can learn the gift or the grace from God, that we will not be offended to that degree. That's what I'm trying to say. Point number five is practice the golden rule. You thought I was going to say something very profound, didn't you? Something we never heard before. Yeah, this is what Mom used to tell me whenever I came in complaining about my brother that mistreated me, right? Did you treat him as you want to be treated? No, we have our own rule. It's not very golden, but we have our own rule. It says, we do unto others as they do unto me. That's our rule that we go by. And the golden rule is actually a little different. It doesn't say it like that, you do unto others as they do unto you. They say you do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And by the way, brothers and sisters, this is a verse not just for the children. It's not just for the junior that's squabbling with his siblings. It's a good verse for them to memorize, but it's also for us as adults. Treat each other as you want to be treated. Not as they deserve. Not as you want them to be, not as I want to treat them, not even as they treated me, but as I want them to treat me. Practice the golden rule. Number six, conflicts. Number six is seek solutions, not necessarily who is guilty. Now, this is a principle I learned not long ago. I'm going to say maybe a little over a year ago, year and a half ago to be exact. It was May of 2024 that I learned this principle. Somebody share it with me. And I ponder upon that. You know, it is true. I think I have concluded that they were right. At least I hope they were right, because I'm giving it to you. It's very easy in a conflict to say whose fault is it. And we go into a conflict, who is at fault here? Who is the one that's going to take the 5 lashes of the belt? Who is the one that we need to approach with a baseball bat or with a 2x4 at minimum and whack him on the head? Who is it? And we try to, did he say this? Yes, okay, he's the guilty. You know what? It's very interesting. Whenever we go to a fire, some of our church brothers volunteer at the fire department, our local fire department. We live in a very rural area like you do here. And years ago, the Mennonites to help with the fire department. Long story short, we volunteer with the fire department. And we go to a house fire. And you know what? That would be ridiculous to go out there and the first thing we do is who started the fire? Who is the one that had the matches? Who was the one playing with the candle? Who was the one that left the heater on? Who? No, we don't even worry about that. We get the water hose and we're going to put the fire out. We are seeking for a solution, not who is guilty. A lot of times we can't even prove who was guilty anyway. And this is a thing I would like to learn in conflict, is that can we lay aside who all threw the match first? Who was the one that put the gas in there? Who was the one playing with the matches? Why can't we just say, okay, how can we fix this? How can we learn and move forward? Seeking solutions. And let the past be past. I know there's a trust. I understand. You're already screaming at me and say there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. I get it. Forgiveness and trust is two different things. I used to think it was the same thing, but I have come to realize through conflicts that there's two things, two different things. We can forgive, but trust is going to have to be worked on. And sometimes we can't even rebuild trust because it's gone, but we can recreate trust. Okay? Now, I know there's a lot of in there that we could unpack, but we're going to have to keep going. Point number seven, and I told you it was 7 points, so we're almost done. Okay? Point number seven in resolving conflict is respect conclusions reached by those in authority. Respect conclusions reached by those in authority. Some conflicts in school, for example, the teacher has to deal with it. The teacher feels it's beyond her league, if we can use that term, to solve the issue. So she takes it to the school board. And the school board says, we have to solve this problem. There's a conflict here, and you can call the parents and see what happened. You can get the perspective of the teachers. You could, depending how old the child is, you might could talk to some of the classmates to see what they saw. And all the school board is trying to do is get a picture, get the whole picture, what happened. And one day, the school board is going to meet and say, this is what happened. And remember, that's what God made man the way he did. They already say, how can we fix this problem? And they're going to say, this, we see that this is what happened, and this is what needs to be done to correct the problem and to move forward. And the school board chairman is going to have to call that dad of that child and explain to him the conclusion of the school board. And that parent has a choice to make. He's still going to be screaming that they did not punish the guilty one. He's still going to be protesting that he was not heard. He's still going to be protesting all those things. Or you can say, you know what? That's what we have a school board. That is their job, and that's the conclusion they came with, and I'm going to support them. I am going to support them. Let me tell you a thing about my mom. My mom is dead for 11 years now. And there was a school teacher of mine that reminded me of this at her funeral. He said, one thing I do remember about you, Mom, is whenever you and your brother came and crying to her about the teachers, he said, your mom never sided up with you. And I had to stop and think, and you know what? That is true. I wish so bad my mom would take the 2x4 to that teacher and whack her on the head because I was right. But you know what? My mom supported the authority. And this is the kicker. The teacher told me, even sometimes, maybe you were in the right. Wow. Now God bless mom for what she tried. Well, I have a long ways to learn, to go and learn this. Not to mention whenever we have conflicts in our brotherhood. Whenever conflicts come in our brotherhood, the ministry have the hard work of going and trying to solve the issue. They're going to listen. They're going to hear you. They're going to try their best not to be partial and to be honest with the situation. And we pray to God for wisdom. And we pray a brother's meeting and say, Lord, help the ministry as they're dealing with this issue. And the funny thing is this. Whenever the ministry comes with a solution, we don't believe that it was God's answer to our prayers. Have you ever thought about that? That we pray for wisdom for them to give direction in a certain situation. And whenever they give their direction and their observations, we don't agree with them. I wonder really if we believe that God can give wisdom whenever those situations come. Now, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm trying to be realistic with what I see in our midst. My encouragement to you is respect those decisions. Respect those. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For they, that is unprofitable for you. And it's amazing to me. Maybe I should have preached about authority. But why did the writer here, we assume that Paul wrote Hebrews, why did he say obey them? He could have said obey the scriptures. That's all we need, right? Obey the scriptures. We would have been satisfied with that. But why did he say obey them? So it almost seems to me like he has something in mind beyond the scriptures. Now, you could disagree with me. And I'll try to have alligator skin too, you know. If you tell, no, I don't agree with you. Well, that's fine. Okay, whatever. But I wonder if he meant something extracurriculum beyond the scriptures. Because the scriptures are not specific on everything. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I have a hard time deciding, okay, we said that the women should cover their heads, and what kind of covering we're going to use. We don't know. The Bible doesn't specify that. That's just a poor example, I'm sorry. But I'm just trying to say, if we can learn to obey and to respect those conclusions. And by the way, I do want to be honest with the scriptures. The word obey there in Hebrews is not the same as the one in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says the children obey your parents in the Lord. It's two different Greek words. Now, I'm not a Greek person. I don't know how they have such a broad vocabulary. When they use one form to obey, I'm guessing my little bit of study that I did, it would be a good assignment for you to decipher what's the difference. But one of them is the children don't have an option. Children, you obey your parents, period. You got to. There's no option. Well, in the church, it probably is. There is an option. Maybe there's a little bit more of a dialogue, more an opportunity for the ministry to try to convince you. Maybe that's what it means. Christians must submit to be instructed by their ministry. And not to think themselves too wise, too good, too great to learn from them. I'm sorry, to learn from them. Let me repeat that. Christians must submit to the instructed, to be instructed by their ministers, and not to think themselves too wise, too good, or too great to learn from them. When they find that ministerial instructions are agreeable with the written word, they must obey him. And that quote came not from an Anabaptist commentator. That comes from evangelical commentators. Sometimes I feel jealous of ministry, of those circles, evangelical circles, because it seems to me like the laity people go to the ministers for advice more than what we do. I don't know when was the last time you went to the minister and asked advice. It'd be interesting to know. Sometimes the ministry are the last ones that hear that something happened or something, somebody started dating or that sort of thing. They never got asked for advice. And me with my poor little thin skin, right? I take it personal. Ah, they must not like me. So I got to develop alligator skin and say, well, they probably knew I didn't have good advice, so they probably got better advice somewhere else. May God help us as we go through life solving conflicts. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit can speak to each one of us to have the wisdom that is from above. That is first pure, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and of good fruits. There's a prayer, it's a song. I'm not a song leader, so I'm not even going to try to teach you this song, but I can read it. It says, Lord, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in unity. Many times we disagree over what's right or wrong to do. It's so hard to really see from the other's point of view. How we long for power and fame, seeking every earthly thing. We forget the one who came as a servant, not a king. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.